1, amen. Psalm 1. Of course, you know that the theme for the year is Psalms for the soul. And so we're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do as we travel through several Psalms this year. And you be aware of this fact as well. On occasion, I may ask you on a Sunday night, what's your favorite psalm or what's your favorite verse from the Psalms? Have you read that verse and tell us what it means to you. So be prepared for that in the days ahead. Amen. Psalm 1. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
This is the first psalm to get us started, amen, of the book of Psalms, and it's an anonymous psalm, which is interesting. There is no heading on that, on number one or number two. It's believed David may have written Psalm 1, but irregardless of who wrote it, amen, it depicts on how we can have a blessed or a happy life, amen, and I'm excited about that. Going to give pretty much just an introduction of it today. We may get to the first little snippet of verse number one, but that's going to be about it. Amen. And I am looking forward to that. All right, we're going to read the whole psalm together, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. And you read all six stanzas along with me, and we'll look forward to that blessing. Everybody there, amen?
Amen.
All right, let's start reading in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. As I said, this anonymous psalm sets forth wisdom for those who want to live a blessed or happy life, much like Jesus did in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, if you're going to be a saved person, if you're going to live a blessed life, then there's a blessed mentality that you need to have in the New Testament. In similar way, here in the Old Testament, the psalmist is writing and saying, you know what, if you're going to live a certain lifestyle and have the happiness that goes along with this life, then there's going to be some things that you need to do. By the way, the word blessed literally means, oh, the happiness of the person, or happy, happy is the man. This psalm reminds us that if we're going to truly be happy, there are some things not to do, and there are some things to do if we want to lead a righteous and a fruitful life. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning, amen, as we look at the blessed man, amen, the blessed man. Father, thank you so much for the goodness that you've shown upon us. Oh, Lord, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for the blessed man. Thank you what his life is characterized by. Lord, we know that we can glean from this example, and we can be as blessed as well as this blessed man is. Lord, we just need to take and do the things that he's doing, make them a part of our life, incorporate them. We can have the blessedness that's associated with this man. But Lord, contrasted with this blessed man is an ungodly man as well, a sinful man. The Bible says this man will perish in the end. Oh God, may we not be like that man, but may we truly be like the blessed man. May our hope be in God. May our faith be in Jesus Christ. May we have repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, not by our baptism, not by our church membership, not by our giving, not by us being good, Lord, not by anything that we've done, but strictly and solely because Jesus Christ the righteous died for our sins and our place. He was our substitute, and we need to embrace the love of God, receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, repent of sins, and God, we can truly have the blessedness that this man is talking about today. And I pray that if there is one amongst us that does not know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior, they don't have a relationship with him and the righteousness of him and repentance toward God, then Lord, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl today to see that ritual, routine, and religion will not get us to heaven. Just the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we might leave here, Lord, different than when we came. We might do the things that the Word of God says we ought to do and be blessed above our wildest dreams. Have your hands upon those not with us today. Bless now in the message and in the song that we'll be saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And you may be seated. Ms. Charmaine is going to sing for us this morning.
Jesus. center of it all. The center of it all. Jesus, you're the center of it all.
As I mentioned earlier this morning, she's not been well, and Max has not been well, but we appreciate having her here this morning. Amen. Well, we have this morning the privilege of looking into the Psalms, Psalm 1. Of course, the theme is Psalms for the Soul for 2015. So we're going to be looking at different Psalms throughout this week and this year and this month, and just looking at different ways that the Psalms can be an encouragement and a comfort to our hearts and our souls. Amen. And so we're going to give just an introduction today and probably get, like I say, just a little bit of the verse here, because I want to set up something here. Because when you look at Psalm 1, notice it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This psalm starts out with negative choices of the blessed man. In other words, it describes the things that he avoids or he stays away from. Totally different from the Beatitudes in Matthew. In Matthew, in the New Testament, Jesus came back and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, and things like that, blessed are the merciful. And so Jesus didn't give any negative commands in the Beatitudes in the New Testament. But when you go back to the Old Testament, there are negative attitudes that the blessed man needs to have. And today I want to pretty much just kind of uncover why the negativity is here. By the way, may I say this, that God is a very positive God. He positively stands for what he stands for. Amen. And there are more positive commands, four times more positive commands in the Bible than there are negative commands. However, the negative commands that are in the Bible say what they say, and they say what they say for a purpose and a reason. And we're going to talk about that this morning a little bit. In the Old Testament, we find the blessed man here is one who avoids things, unlike in the New Testament, how the blessed man is going to do some things. Amen. Why the change from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Amen. Hold your finger there. Let me show you something here. Go back in the Bible to Genesis chapter number 1. It wasn't always that way. In Genesis chapter number 1, when God created everything and made it very good, he gave Adam several positive commands. But he only gave Adam one negative command. Notice verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's a positive command. Verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's a positive command. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt what? Not eat of it. That's a negative command. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And notice down there in verse number 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. That's a positive command. Amen. And he goes down there and gives the man several commands here, but most are positive. Did you notice he only gave one negative command? He said, don't eat of that tree. By the way, there's a multitude of trees in the garden that he could have eaten from, but God said negatively, don't eat from one. So why the change here? As a result of verse number, chapter number 3, notice in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, when you then your eyes should be open and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, which it was all those things. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat as well. Of course, we know that plunged the whole world into sin. And consequently, all of us have inherited a nature based upon Adam's sin that is sinful. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see in the New Testament, we have positive commands. Then in the blessed man, there are three negative commands. We go all the way back to the beginning. There were more positive commands than there were negative commands. There was only one negative command. It plunged the whole world into sin. All of us now are in sin as a result of that. And since the point of sin, man has a sin nature. And now negative commands began to dominate the relationship between God and man. You say, preacher, why? Primarily, number one, to govern and guide our priority to worship God. Why? Man was given the free choice to worship God. Now God said, I command you to love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul. A command that's given to you. Amen. But also for the protection and welfare of man. And as a result, we had to be told to worship God and not to harm man. Go over to the Ten Commandments with me. And notice the difference from in Exodus chapter number 20. The difference between Adam's original command of one to the Ten Commandments of being eight negative commands. The Ten Commandments start out in verse number 3. Actually, starts out in verse number 1. But verse number 3 says this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Negative command. Verse number 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Negative command. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Negative command. Verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Positive command there. Verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Positive command. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Negative command. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Negative command. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Negative command. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. So Adam went from one command that was negative with all the positives. Now when we come over here, we're all sinners. Now we've got eight negative commands and two positive commands. Why? To govern and guide our priority to worship God, because we're sinners now, and also to protect man from man. Y'all with me? Now, why the change in the New Testament? Because the Holy Spirit of God is supposed to be in us now to govern and guide us from within as opposed to without. Y'all with me? So the blessed man here has got some negative commands given to him. Now to be blessed or happy, go back to Psalm 119 with me. Now to be blessed in Psalm 119 or in the Old Testament, it requires negative commands being followed in order to stay away from things that would take us away from the blessedness or the happiness. So in Psalm number 1, we're going to talk about, first of all, the negative choices of the blessed man. And we're talking about the negative choices because there is absolutely and positively no way anyone can be blessed by walking in ungodly counsel or standing with sinners or sitting with the scornful. I asked, let me have Nora come up here for a second here. Jeremiah, you come up here as well. Come in, Nora. There you go. Come on. Hey, there you go. Bless your heart. Jeremiah, I want you to sit here. G2, I want you to go over there. And Jeff Jr., I want you to come in here in the middle. There we go. All right. Come on up here with me. Just stand right there. All right, so we've got these negative commands here. Why the negative commands? I'm going to give Nora a positive command. I'm just going to tell her to stay right here, okay? I'm not going to give her any negative commands. But over here is going to be the walking and the bad counsel. So, G2, I want you to just pace back and forth, walk back and forth here. And when I tell you to, you're going to call Nora to you, amen? And you're going to be standing in the way of sinners. So step back just a little bit. And you're going to call for her as well. Amen. And Jeremiah, you're going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I want you to call for her as well. Amen. Why? Because all throughout our lives, we have a sin nature. We're going to have people that walk in ungodly counsel that are going to be calling us for our attention. We're going to have people standing in the way of sinners going to be calling us. There are going to be people that are going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful, and they're going to be calling us. And I'm just going to tell Nora, Nora, you stay with me, okay? Nora, you stay with me, okay? All right. Now, all three of y'all give her a call and ask her to come to y'all. Nora, no, no, Nora, you stay here, Nora. Nora. That was too easy. Okay, I'm playing God. Okay, come on back here. No, no, no. You're standing in the way of sinners, Nora. You need to come back over here. You come back over here, okay? You need to stay with me. G2, keep walking back and forth. You call her too. You need to stay with me. I'm God, and I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to make sure everything is good. You stay with me, okay? Good. Amen. Y'all call her. Y'all call. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all call her. No, no, Nora, 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 Nora. Okay. Now, you know, no, you're walking in the council of the ungodly. You're walking in the council of the ungodly, okay? Now, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the council of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And the Lord, does he meditate? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So you stay with me and it'll be well with you, okay? Don't you go. Y'all call her again. You stay with me. Hold on. Hold on. Nora says, three strikes, and I'm out. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. You stay with me. Yes, that's right. You stay here with me. All right, call her too, Jeff. Nora, come on, Nora, come on. Remember, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Nora, you stay with me. Amen. Amen. There we go. That's my girl. Yes. Yes. Good job. Give me a high five.
Nice job.
Now, why did I use her for an illustration? I gave her one positive command. What was it easy for her to do? Violate my positive command. It was easy for her to go with the counsel of the ungodly or go into the way of the sinners and stand over there or sit in the skin. It was easy. It was easy even just to consider it. So what did she do? As soon as I put her down, she's like, boom. There we go, buddy. Yeah. Brought her back and she clung. Brother Sir says she was repentant. Like, yeah, comfort is here. Yeah, I'm secure. But then with enough coercion, come here, Nora. Come here. Guess where she went? All right, here we go. I had to bring her back over here. And then what did she do last time? She clung to me. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It is so easy, folks, to get caught up in what people say and where people are going, getting into their counsel and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. It is so easy to get involved in that. Why? Because oftentimes we go where the voice sounds good. She's like, don't you put me down no more. Every time I get put down, I go somewhere, I get in trouble. Amen. By the way, that's how it ought to be. Amen. That's how it ought to be. Let's give you back to mom and dad. Amen. Yeah, buddy. Say, no, I want to go back up in front. Amen. I like that. I said all that to say this. Jesus gave us positive commands. Okay, you guys can go back. Appreciate that. Jesus gave us positive commands in the New Testament because now we're supposed to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us inside, which is to guide us. But guess what? He still is not going to force us what to do. He still is going to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit in us in obedience to his word. Amen.
Guess what? They're still going to be of the counsel of the ungodly. They're still going to be standing in the way of sinners. They're still going to be the seat of the scornful. And it's going to be imperative for you and I to obey the negative commands of God. Why? The positive command doesn't come until verse number 2. There's always going to be someone calling you and wooing you and trying to get your attention. Hey, folks, the world is full of that. The devil knows what you want to hear. Yeah. Amen. And if your flesh is alive, your flesh will go to the counsel of the ungodly. It'll stand in the way of sinners, or it's going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Just as quick as you can shake a stick, just as quick as I put Nora down, pow, she was gone. Why? Because she said, somebody's calling me. And so basically what we're going to look at today is the negative choices of the blessed man. The blessed man is blessed because of his choices, negatively speaking. I know we live in a world now where you're not supposed to say no to kids. You're not supposed to spank them. You're not supposed to correct them. Everything's supposed to be, oh, you did a good job. But hey, my Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not, nor. What is that? Negative commands. Negative commands, amen? And so when we look at this, you understand where we came from. We came from Adam and Eve, and we came from that place where we only had a one negative command, but then you come to the Ten Commandments, and now we've got to be told to worship God, not to violate Him, not to violate Him in any way in what He tells us to do, not to violate others. Why? Because we're sinners now, and we need negative commands to tell us what not to do. No, we don't like that today. You say, preacher, that's not popular. I didn't say it was popular. I'm just saying it's right. Amen. And so when you come down here to verse 1, the blessed man is distinguished by what he does not listen to, by what he does not do, where he does not go, and who he does not hang with. And to be godly, we can learn from this example. First of all, I want us to notice the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. And there's going to be quite a bit of turning in your Bibles here in just a few minutes. But I want to show us this point, amen, because we need to say no to sinners and yes to the Savior. Would y'all agree with me? Amen. Just like Nora had to say no to G2, no to Jeff, and no to Jeremiah, and yes to me. Why? The comfort and the priority was going to be in me. Why? I was the one that said, stay here. Was that negative or positive? It was positive. Stay here. That's positive. Amen. I didn't say, don't go there. Don't go here. Don't go here. I said, stay here. Amen. By the way, for you and I to be blessed, we're going to have to say no to some things to stay positive. Amen. We're going to have to say no negatively to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Amen. First of all, the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man, it says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walketh means to behave or to go forward with. Counsel means advice or plans. Ungodly, as Mark said, is morally wrong, wicked, or bad person. By the way, may I submit to you that saved people can be ungodly. Saved people can be ungodly. May I submit to you that saved people can give you ungodly counsel. Saved people can stand in the way of sinners. Saved people can be in the seat of the scornful sometimes, amen? So just because I'm saved doesn't mean that doesn't qualify for me. Doesn't take a whole lot, amen? By the way, the only thing that separates me from a saved person is the Spirit of God. If I don't obey the Spirit of God within me, guess what? I'll act just like an unsaved person. I'll give them ungodly counsel. I'll give them a sinful counsel. I'll give them scornful counsel, amen? I will act just like an unsaved person. Not a whole lot that separates us except for the Spirit of God, by the way. But when He's in charge, that's a whole lot. Amen. Amen. And so the blessed man does not listen to ungodly counsel. In other words, he does not go forward and act on advice from people that are morally wrong in their guidance. Amen. By the way, there are two types of counsel you can listen to. Ungodly counsel and godly counsel. Amen. Amen. It's either of God or it's not. Hey, there's either Satan or God. There's Christ or Antichrist. There's angels and there's demons. It's night or it's day, amen? So your counsel is godly or it's ungodly. It's one of the two. It's not middle ground. God doesn't deal with middle grounds. He says either it's going to be for me or it's going to be against me. Can I get an amen? Now people are like, well, it's kind of gray, amen? God doesn't deal with gray. He doesn't say, well, you have saved. What's that? Which part do you say, the lower half or the upper half? Which part is going to heaven, your right side or your left side? Your head and your body. Amen. God doesn't deal with partiality. He deals with whole and totality. Amen. And so there are two types of counsel, ungodly and ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel normally involves hearing what you want to hear to obey it and follow it. Did you hear that? Ungodly counsel normally involves hearing what you want to hear to obey and follow it. Ungodly people will give you ungodly counsel to fulfill your heart's desire. Matters not that it is ungodly. Jeremiah 17:9 still says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? And when my heart is not the heart of God, guess what? I'm going to go in the way of sinners, go in the way of the ungodly counsel, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scornful. It's just a fact of the matter. Why? I'm going to hear what I want to hear. That's ungodly counsel. Godly counsel normally involves hearing what God said to obey it and follow it, whether I want to hear it or not. Husbands, how many times your wives give you some godly counsel and you really don't want to hear it? But guess what? You can't deny that it's godly counsel. Godly counsel involves hearing what God said to obey and follow it. Godly people will counsel you according to what God said. Matters not what your heart desires. Amen. Y'all don't have to agree. It's true. By the way, ungodly counsel will lead you into brokenness. Godly counsel will lead you into blessedness. And we're going to look at some examples of both of these. Amen. Because you're either walking in ungodly counsel or you're walking in godly counsel. Amen. By the way, you can be in the house of God, walk in godly counsel to obey Hebrews 10:25 to get here. And somebody can tell you have a bad spirit when you get here. That's ungodly counsel. Amen. You can get here. Somebody can lie to you or trick you or tell you something to deceive you. And you can be here and be in a bad spirit. Amen. And so it matters not that you follow godly counsel to get here. When you got here, you got ungodly counsel. And now you're in a way and you don't even want to hear what God has to say. You're following ungodly counsel. How many times the devil want to get somebody on the way to church? Well, don't listen to that preacher. He know he go long anyway. That's ungodly counsel. Hey, the people in the Bible stood up all day, the Bible says. In the rain. Say, we can't get people to come to church in the rain with protection outside sometimes. Ungodly counsel only involves hearing what you want to hear to obey it. Ungodly people will give you ungodly counsel to fill your heart's desire. Godly counsel normally involves hearing what God said to obey it and follow it. Godly people will give you counsel according to what God says matters not what you desire. Godly counsel gives you ungodly counsel gives you brokenness. Godly counsel gives you blessedness. Now let's notice some the wrong responses to ungodly counsel. The wrong responses to ungodly counsel. Because my Bible says, blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So in other words, when the ungodly person gives them counsel, and by the way, people are always going to give you ungodly counsel. People are always going to give you ungodly counsel. The choice now is going to be up to you whether you walk in it. The blessed man is blessed because he doesn't walk in the counsel they give him. He doesn't stand with the sinners. He doesn't sit with the scornful. Because you're always going to have ungodly counsel coming your way until the day you die. Your thing is going to be, what are you walking in? Amen. Hey, people at my job just give me ungodly counsel all the time. Oh, preacher, you don't need to go to church all the time. I wasn't even a preacher back then. I was just a Christian. You don't need to go to church. I got it from my family. Didn't you go to church this morning? Why are you going back tonight? Because God said so. Why are you going back on Wednesday? Because God said so. But you don't have to. I know I don't have to. I want to. Even though the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That's a negative command. Don't not do this. I'm just going to obey because I love God. Hey, what did I say? Nora, stay here. Nora's going to stay here because she loves me and she wants to obey me, or she's going to be wooed away and go over here or go over here or go over here. By the way, you're going to do right because you love God or you don't love him. Or you don't love him as much as you think you love him. Amen. All it took for Nora was twice. Nora said one time, boom. Somebody else's arms. Yes. Came back. No, Nora. You stay here. She too looks pretty good. Yeah, she ran. Third time, Nora said, this ain't happening no more. By the way, many of you didn't see it. You know what she did? She clung to my pants. She gripped my pants like that. She held on and she wouldn't let go. She's like, look, I am. Hey, that's what we got to do. We got to hold on to God. By the way, God is going to hold on to you as long as you hold on to him. As soon as you let go, guess what? Hey, you don't want to obey me? You're free to go. God said, I don't want any robots serving me. Amen. Now, by the way, now, will God keep you and hold you as long as you want to be kept in hell? Aren't there sometimes Joe and Brianna, when Nora don't want to be held and she get to squirm and trying to get out and she worm her way down, like, let me go and get them little sleeper moves, slip on down. You got to pull them back up to get to squirming. I know G2 and Josh, you do that. Ooh, I want to get down. Then you got to do one of these numbers. Whop. You know what happens? They come up in the seat. You know what I'm saying? I gave you a command. Stay put. Sometimes God's got to give us a stay put. That's the chastening of a loving God. Amen. Why? Because if you don't stay put, you're going to go right back over there again, and you're going to get in trouble. You're going to go right back over there, and you're going to get in trouble. You're going to go right back over there, and you're going to get in trouble. And so I'm telling you to stay put. You may not like it, but guess what? It's good for you. And a loving father, a loving parent will keep them close and not let them go too far away. God knows where you're trying to go. And he knows what dangers are out there. And that's why the negative commands are given there. I'll give you a couple of illustrations here. Go in your Bible to the first one we're going to look at is going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 1. The guy in question's name is Jonadab. The other guy is Amnon. The problem with this is Amnon was friends with Jonadab. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1. Verse number 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 13 says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So the problem is you've got Amnon, who is the son of David, who loves Tamar, which is the daughter of David. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. By the way, young men, keep your hands off of ladies. Keep your hands off of ladies. Don't touch them. Don't look at them. Leave them alone. Don't kiss them. Don't put your hands on them. Period. The problem here, he's got affections for the wrong girl. And by the way, the wrong type of girl for you, the young people right now, is any girl. You say, we're supposed to like guys? No, I ain't saying that. Amen. I'm just saying, wait till you get ready for marriage. Then you start looking for a girl. You're not ready for marriage. Get your eyes off of them. Get your hands off them. Get your lips off of them before somebody give you a foot in the bottom. You mess with mine, you sure get one. Amen. Amen. Hey, he's got the wrong relationship going on, verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now hold your finger there real quick and go to Genesis chapter number 3. Do you know who else it says was subtle? The serpent. Genesis chapter 3. Where we got into all this problem in the first place, Genesis chapter 3, notice verse number 3, number 1. Now the serpent was more what? Subtle. Same exact word that it uses to describe Jonadab. More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And so in other words, the serpent beguiled the woman, thinking she was doing right into doing wrong. Jonadab now is about to give ungodly counsel to get Amnon to fulfill his heart's desire. In other words, I'm going to help you get what you want. Hey, my friend, when people want to help you get what you want, you're already in trouble. Now, if they help you get what God wants you to have, that's a different story. But if they give you what you want, if your want is not God's want, you're in trouble. I don't care who tells you to do it, how they try and circumvent God, you're in trouble. Amen. This man is subtle just like the serpent was. Go back to Amnon chapter 13, 2 Samuel. Notice this, verse number 4. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Question. Wilt thou not tell me? Question. Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. If he was godly, he should have said, man, that's sin. He should have said, man, that's sin. You know that ain't right by God. He should have told him right off the bat, that's sin. That ain't right. Hey, let me tell you something. Somebody come and say, why are you so sad? Well, sister so-and-so offended me. Or brother so-and-so won't talk to me. Well, so-and-so owes me some money, and I'm trying to think how to get back at him. Well, so-and-so said something about me, and I don't like it. Well, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did this, and preacher won't do this, and preacher's wife won't do this, and deacon so-and-so won't do this, and deacon's wife won't do this, and that's why I'm sad. First thing you said, you need to get that poochy lip inside your mouth. Is there anything worth having poochy lip over when it's sinful?
No, Pastor.
God's trying to protect you in the first place.
Yes, he is.
He says, why are you like this? I love my sister. Sin.
Oh, yeah.
It should have stopped right there in the conversation. Man, that's sin. You need to get right with God.
Amen.
Ain't you the king's son? Look out there. You got a whole flock of folk in the kingdom.
Yes.
Why you want this one? Did not David do the same thing?
Yes, sir, he did.
You got a whole harem, David. Why you want that one? Amen. Verse 5, and Jonadab said unto him, this is the ungodly counsel, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. You ain't sick, you're sin sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my side that I may see it and eat it in her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. What did he do? He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. What happened? His heart's desire has been fulfilled now. I've got a way to get what I want. Hey, when you get what you want, you're always in trouble. Unless what you want is what God wants you to have. When you get what you want, you're in trouble already. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to what they say. Yes, it sounds good. Yes, it's going to give you what you want. Yeah, you think you may feel good, but you're going to be no good. Amen. What am I saying here? This is his friend. This is his friend. Hey, listen, I don't care how much of a friend they say they are to you. If they tell you to do what is not godly, they're not your friend. They're a false friend. Because a true friend will tell you to do right by God.
Yes,
sir. Amen. I'm just saying. Can you imagine Pastor White coming to my house? Preacher, don't go to church tomorrow. You don't need to go to church tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Preacher, why? Because you don't feel like it. You want to go over to watch, I don't know, whatever. You want to stay and watch Super Bowl. There you go. Don't come tonight. Stay and watch Super Bowl. That's your heart's desire. How many people missed the church service on Super Bowl? Amen.
Read it on, Pastor.
Amen. I'm just saying. Notice what happens. He said, make yourself sick. When thy father come to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my side, and that I may see it and eat at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my side that I may eat at her hand. Wait a minute. Can't somebody else make you some cakes? Why, it's got to be her. That's his heart's desire. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go down to thy... Brother Amnon's house and dressing meat. David doesn't, he's not any wiser. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and well, he was laid down, and she took the flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes, and she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And can you imagine? Here she is, he's sitting over there fainting like he's sick, and she's over there slaving all the while. He's lusting in his heart. He's watching every move she's making, and he's looking at the way she's moving so gracefully, and his desire and his passion is building up. Hey, who's to blame? Jonadab's to blame. Hey, but Amnon, you're the blame because you listened to that ungodly counsel. All the while, we're getting fumed up in our hearts over some foolish wickedness. And we're looking and we're watching, and it's fueling our passions and it's feeding our foolishness, and we're getting worked up over it and getting worked up over it. We're getting angry over it. We're getting upset over it. And this state, he's getting lustful over it.
Yes, sir.
That counsel that you listen to has got you so worked up. It's got you so out of the will of God that you'll do just about anything to fulfill it. What am I saying? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, doesn't end there. verse number 10. Verse 9, the rest of it. He says, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. So in other words, he cleared the house. Get the picture. Servants were there. He's watching every move she makes. His passion is fueled up inside of him. He can't wait to get his hands on her. He knows she's forbidden, but the counsel of the wicked has given him this scheme. Get her in there, then she's all yours. You can have her. She's in your house. You can do whatever she wants to. Hey, you better watch having counsel behind closed doors when it's ungodly. You better watch it. You better watch it. You better watch it. He said, have every man out. Get out, all of you. And that's just Tamar. Amnon. Where's Jonadab at? Where is he at? He's done his dirty work. I'll concoct the plan, but you got to carry it out. That's what Satan will do. I'll concoct the plan, but you got to carry it out. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't go in his way. I don't listen to his plans. I don't listen to his guidance. I don't listen to his advice. He's going to hurt me. He's going to destroy me. He's going to poison me. He's going to ruin me. He's going to desecrate everything that I stand for. I'm staying away from that. That's a bad plan. That's not of God. But see, when your desire is so big and so full, you're bamboozled, just like Eve was. He said, let every man out. Verse 10, and Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. So they went into his bedroom. When she had brought them unto him to eat, took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. That's godly counsel. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. That's godly counsel. Do not thou this folly. That's godly counsel. But see, when your passion is filled, when your lust is filled, when you want to do what you want to do, and you've heard this counsel that's ungodly, and you're walking in a way that's contrary to God, you could care less. You just want to do what you want to do. The devil's got you locked, stock, and barrel. Young people, you better watch out. You better watch out. You think mamas and daddies aren't looking. And you get your little opportunity, and everybody is away, and you're going to try and put your hands on that girl, or put your hands on that boy, put your lips on that boy, put your lips on that guy. You better watch out. Hey, adults, you better watch out, wicked counsel, trying to be a pedophile, trying to lure some little child in. You better watch out. That's ungodly counsel. That's wicked, and you better stay away from that junk. That's wicked, and you know it. Hey, friend, you better listen to me. You listen to some stuff that's ungodly. It's going to take you away from God. It's going to poison your mind. It's going to get you like Eve. You're going to bite that fruit. You better get away from that stuff. It's ungodly. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly counsel. You better watch it. You better watch it. Preacher, nothing's going to happen to me. Well, he forced her. Verse 13. Verse 12. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Yes, you will be. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he would not withhold me from thee. Hey, if that's going to be right, then do it. Verse 14, howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her with was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. Amnon said to her, rise, be gone. He said, look, that's it. I'm through with you. Like a dirty dish rag, get out of here. Like a soiled napkin, get out of here. I don't want you. I'm done with you. I hate you. You disgust me. Why? It was just lust. It was lust. And once this lust was fulfilled, the Bible says, then cometh lust. When lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's conceived, bringeth forth death. Wicked counsel. Wicked counsel. You may look at this and say, well, I've not done anything like that. But what have you listened to lately that's caused your mind to go? Where have you gone lately that someone told you not to go? What have you done lately? Or where someone said, hey, look, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. And some subtle person counseled you and it sounded good. Sounded like just what you wanted to hear and you followed it. Jonadab is giving ungodly counsel to fulfill Amnon's ungodly desire. And as a result, it cost him his life. Verse 28, he lay with her. Absalom found out. Absalom plotted to kill him because this is Absalom's sister as well. Verse 28. Absalom convinced David to let Amnon go. Notice verse 27. Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now, Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. When I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. What am I saying? Wrong counsel. He listened to ungodly counsel from Jonadab, and it cost him his life. I'll give you another one, 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings, go over one book, two books, I should say. 1 Kings chapter number 12. Another man named by the name of Rehoboam listened to ungodly counsel and it cost him the kingdom. 1 Kings chapter number 12. In this case, Solomon has died and Rehoboam, his son, takes over. And the men, the old men give him good counsel, but the young men that were raised with him gave him bad counsel and it caused him the kingdom. Notice verse number 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the guy who's in charge now, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou grievous the grievous service of thy father, and his yoke, his heavy yoke, which was he put upon us lighter, and we shall serve thee. So they come, they say, look, Solomon made it tough, Rehoboam. Why don't you make the yoke nice and easy, and we'll serve you. In verse number 5, and he said unto them, depart, yet for 3 days, then come again to me, and the people departed. And the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father. These ought to be men with wisdom while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? Rehoboam said, hey, you guys are with my dad Solomon, who was the wisest man that lived beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, well, what should I do? They give him good counsel. They say, look, make the yoke a little bit easier. They'll serve you. You'll be good to go. They spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men. He said, look, they were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? The young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father did laid you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed them, saying, come to me again third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. He gave them the counsel of the young men. Why? His heard says, I want to be puffed up. I want to be prideful. I want to be like my dad. I want to be tough. I want to be somebody. The old men said, no, you don't want to do that, son. Your dad was tough for a reason. Your dad was one of the wisest men that ever lived. Your dad was tough for a reason. He had to build the kingdom. He had to get these things up. He was following after David. That was a legacy to follow. And your dad had to be tough for a reason. He did these things. But let's see. You don't have to build no temple now. You don't have to do these things. It's already set in motion. Everything's good for you. You don't have to put no yoke on anybody. Everything's built, Solomon. Why don't you speak kindly to the people? Why don't you be nice to them? Why don't you answer them? Good. I want to be somebody. I may not have to have nobody be rough, but I'm going to be rough just because I want to be rough. I'm a prideful little old thing. I'm a king's son. I can do what I want to do. But the old men counseled you wisely. Solomon had to do what he had to do for a reason. But you don't have to do the same thing your dad had to do. He said, answer him right. He forsook the counsel. Why? his heart. He heard what he wanted to hear from these young men. He didn't hear what he wanted to hear from the old men. He said, I don't like that counsel because it's not what I want to do. As a result, he split the kingdom. Notice down there in verse 13, the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And he spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. And they rebelled. All he had to do was answer right. And by the way, I know it says it was because of the Lord, because the Lord knew what he was going to say. The Lord already knew he was going to do that. And so the Lord just says, hey, look, I know what you're going to do already. By the way, your thing is not set in stone already. God knows what you're going to do, but you don't know what you're going to do. But the Bible does say, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Next week, we're going to look at the right response to ungodly counsel. This is just the wrong response to ungodly counsel. Now, you don't want to be like Jonadab. You don't want to give ungodly counsel. Nor do you want to be like Amnon and walk in ungodly counsel. You don't want to be like Rehoboam and walk in ungodly counsel, nor listen to ungodly counsel. You want to be like the old man and give godly counsel. Whether people walk in or not, it's not up to you.
That's right.
Long as you give it. But I can tell you this, be careful what counsel you give, because somebody follows your counsel and you fall, guess what? You're held responsible.
Yes, sir, you are.
Now, they're held responsible for their actions. Did not God curse the serpent?
Yes, sir, he did.
Why? Because of the counsel that the serpent gave.
That's right.
Hey, you don't want to be cursed because of some counsel you gave. And guess what? Somebody's life can be cursed because of you. Amnon lost his life over his lust, over his passion. Rehoboam lost the kingdom over his pride. I want to be somebody. What am I saying? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly counsel normally involves hearing what you want to hear to obey it and follow it. Ungodly people will give you ungodly counsel to fill your heart's desire. Matters not that it's ungodly counsel. Godly counsel normally involves hearing what God said to obey it and follow it. Godly people will give you godly counsel according to what God says, no matter what your heart desires. One leads you into brokenness. One leads you into blessedness. My question is, A, what counsel are you following? And B, what counsel are you giving? Because saved people can give ungodly counsel. Give you several questions to answer that. How do you know if it's ungodly counsel? Does it feed my flesh to fulfill my fleshly desires? Or does it feed my spirit to fulfill godly spiritual desires? Does the counsel glorify God or does it satisfy self? Does the counsel draw you closer to God or take you further from God and God's will? Does the counsel increase your cause for God's kingdom or decrease God's cause for his kingdom? Does the counsel that you're listening to or giving divide or does it unify? Godly counsel will lead you into blessedness. Ungodly counsel will lead you into brokenness. By the way, counsel is given at this church all the time from this pulpit. But I can't force anyone to make any choice, no more than I can force Nora what to do. But you know what Nora could do? She could cling to me. You know what you can do? You can cling to God. And if you've given bad counsel, you can still fall on the mercy of God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I gave bad counsel. Somebody followed it and they're in trouble now. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I should never have given that counsel that they walked in. God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I did it. I said it. It's gone. I can't return it. But oh God, I can return to you. I can get your mercy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What am I saying? The negative choices of the blessed man. The first thing that he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to go forward in it. He's not going to ponder it. Oh, he listens to it, but he's not listening to obey. He's listening to say, you're wrong. That's not right. That's ungodly counsel. I'm not going to obey that. I'm not going in that direction. Hey, Adam and Eve held a conversation with the serpent. He said, ye shall not surely die. But he was subtle, just like Jonadab. Jonadab, you shall not surely have to deal with this. Just go ahead and lie and get the situation. And it seemed to go good for a while.
Yes, sir.
It's self-destructed. He hated her.
Yes, Pastor, you sure did.
But then Absalom hated him and killed him. Mm-hmm. Rehoboam had the whole kingdom. He said, I am not going to listen to this counsel. I'm going to listen to this other counsel. And the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes left. What counsel are you given today? Let me give you something. The first counsel you need is to be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We saw that very eloquently in Genesis. Wherefore, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The payment is death. The penalty is hell. The payment and penalty is death and hell. But I'm so glad God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. What am I saying? Negative commands and positive commands. The blessed man's life is governed by three negative commands. He's not listening to the ungodly. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting with the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. As long as he meditate day and night. What counsel are you giving? What counsel are you following today? You're not saved? Follow the counsel to be born again. Follow the counsel to get saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, I've tried my best to understand and to show what the blessed man is living by. And Lord, the negative choices that he has got to make. Lord, today we've just looked at godly counsel as opposed to ungodly counsel and the wrong response to ungodly counsel. We saw Jonadab and Amnon and the death that was there. But then we saw Rehoboam and the ungodly counsel of the young men and the division that was there. Lord, I don't know where God's people are at today, but Lord, you know. And I pray you speak to every heart here today. And maybe there is one that's not born again. Lord, prick the heart of that man, that woman, that boy or girl. They may see their need to be born again. They may repent toward God and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of sin. And I pray for Christians today, God, that we would give godly counsel. But then we would also receive godly counsel and walk in godly counsel. But, oh God, if we have given ungodly counsel, and if we received ungodly counsel, and we've walked in it and made a mess of some things, oh God, help us come to an old-fashioned altar and repent of sin. Repent of that ungodly counsel, Lord, and ask you to have mercy upon us and walk in godly counsel and to go in good counsel and to give good counsel. Lord, work in our midst today. Lord, we need help. We need help. We're sinful people, and we're prone to wander just like Noah demonstrated today. But help us to walk in true wisdom and light. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm going to say, preacher, I've not received the counsel to be born again. And if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Right where you at, you just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. I'll not call your name out, but I do want to pray for you. You say, preacher, if I died right now today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you just slip your hand up very quickly. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Pray for me, preacher, anyone at all. How about it then, Christian? Have you received ungodly counsel? Have you walked in it like Jonadab and Amnon? Have you received good counsel and maybe forsook it like Rehoboam did and followed bad counsel, made a mess of things? Why don't you give it all to the Lord? How about it, young people? Maybe you've been tempted to get involved with a relationship that you know is not right. Maybe you're like Jonadab. You're trying to devise a scenario where you can get along with that man or that woman, that boy or girl. You're trying to devise a scenario where you can get that person and get taken advantage of them. May I advise you that's ungodly counsel? That's wicked counsel. May I advise you that you need to repent of that and turn to God? And have your love in the law of the Lord and meditate in that day and night. And you can be like a tree. Repent of it. I don't know where you're at today, but let God speak to your heart. Father, Christians are all around this room, and I am sure all of us are either following godly or ungodly counsel. Some have given godly or ungodly counsel. Others have followed it and done and made a mess of their life, like Jonadab and Rehoboam. Oh God, may sinners come down to an old-fashioned altar, fall on the mercy of God, and Lord, get your hand upon their situation. They can truly understand negative commands are meant for our good. We might avoid some things so that we can be blessed of the Lord. Work in our midst. If there is one that's not saved today without Christ, Lord, work in the heart of that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Lord, help us to investigate our counsel. And if it's ungodly or godly, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Diana's playing. Maybe mom or dad, you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for your sons or your daughters. They won't fall like Jonadab and Amnon. Won't fall for that counsel that Amnon fell for. There's a lot of Jonadabs around, a lot of subtle men giving counsel that's not right. There are a lot of Amnons listening to what they want to hear. There's a lot of Rehoboams not listening to godly counsel from the learned, the wise, those with wisdom. There's a lot like the young man giving ungodly counsel, causing divisions, causing death. For Rehoboam, it meant division of a kingdom. For Jonadab, Rehoboam, Amnon, it meant his death. Where are you at today? Would you let God speak to your heart? All of us are going to give counsel, but is it godly counsel? All of us are going to follow some counsel, but is it godly counsel? Preacher, it's a little bit too late. I'm already involved in ungodly counsel. Repent of it. Do like Nora did. Come back to God. Cling to God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Would you let God speak to your heart? Whatever your need is. Coming home, coming home. We're all going to listen to some kind of counsel. What kind of counsel will you listen to? Blessed is the man walketh under counsel of the ungodly. Young people, you're in your teen years. People at your school are going to counsel you to get drugs. Start drinking, start smoking. Get involved in premarital sex. Get immoral, using filthy language, chewing tobacco. Getting involved in all sorts of illicit drugs. Doing things that you know is not the counsel that your parents would give you. Doing things that you know that God says not to do. Saying, walk ye in this way, but God has already said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They're going to be in your schools. Maybe in your youth group. Maybe on your Wednesday night sessions. Maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe in your own family. Maybe your friends. Men, they're going to be at your jobs. Ladies, encouraging you to do things that you know are immoral. Ladies at your jobs, men encouraging you to do things that you know are not right. The devil is subtle, just like Jonadab. He'll give you a way to fulfill what you want to do. He'll give you your heart's desire. And he'll tell you, why don't you just do it like this? It's not until it's too late. Like Amnon's death, Rehoboam's division, that you'll see that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have walked in the counsel of the ungodly. I should have repented long ago. I should have done like Noah and clung to God. What kind of counsel is it? Lord, I'm coming home. Now, Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being a God that loves us. Lord, thank you for the negative commands that you give us for our protection, for our good, for us to stay away from ungodly counsel, for us not to go in the way of sinners. Lord, not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, thank you that you have not forced us to walk that way. Neither have you forced us to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. But you did say the result would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Lord, you did say the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Lord, you did say, therefore, the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Because, Lord, you know the way of the righteous. But also the way of the sinners are going to perish. Oh, God, help us to make the right choice. Not to listen to counsel that is not right, so that we can truly be blessed. And that we can truly be like that tree. Lord, I pray that there's one that has not the assurance of heaven as their home. Lord, work on that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Help them to see that you love them. You want heaven's best for them. Thank you for meeting with us today. Empower the popcorn preachers tonight, Lord, to do your will. Instruct them. Give them the boldness to stand in the pulpit tonight. Lord, may they give godly counsel tonight and teach us how to be in the way of the righteous and not the sinners. Lord, not to get in the seat of the scornful. Thank you in Jesus' name. I express the hall of